I want to just explain to you that when I looked at the story that we have today in our readings, it's a rather long story. And on one side, we could have someone stand up and read the whole thing, which would take quite a while. Or we could have someone leaping up and down in the middle of my going through it. And I thought that felt a little bit awkward. So I hope that you will understand that today I'm going to read the scripture and take us through piece by piece as we go through this story of the woman that Jesus met at the well in Sychar. The reading is from John's Gospel, and it's reading from chapter 4. John sets the scene. He says, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it wasn't actually Jesus himself, but his disciples who were doing the baptizing, he left Judea and he started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well, and it was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with the Samaritans. Whenever we look at a group of people and think, oh, them, we're not at one with the Spirit of Christ. Whenever we submit to that very human weakness of having in our heart a person or a set of people who we don't want to talk to, in this place, Christ is not Lord. In his epistle, John wrote, those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Whenever we hate, whenever we think in our hearts, I don't want to talk to that person, in that part of our lives, we are acknowledging another Lord other than our Saviour. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and with his sons and flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to come up here to draw water. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come back. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to a woman, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to Jesus, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who's called Christ, and when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." And just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" And then the woman left her water jar and she went back to the city and she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" And they left the city and they were on their way to him. And meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one's brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months and then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you. See how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving the wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so the sower and the reaper might rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What is it that nourishes you? Now, I'm not asking you about your diet. That's very personal. When Jesus says to his disciples, "I have food to eat that you don't know about," and he adds, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to complete his work." Is that something you might say? Well, not out loud, because if you did that, someone might think you were being a bit self-righteous or something like that, but in your heart. When you love someone, you just want to do things for them, don't you? You can lose yourself in it, in a job for your kids, a project for your grandchildren, a surprise for your wife or sweetheart. I imagine women feel the same sort of thing about their husbands or sweethearts. Is this the way you feel about your service to God? Like Jesus did. Would he have a bit of a grumble about it? I remember from my youth the exuberance of bringing in the hay and the wheat and the atmosphere out in the paddock when we were picking the tomatoes. We sang in church on a Sunday, "Bringing in the sheaves," like no other song, because we knew exactly what the feeling was, even if we had moved to square hay bales. We loved it. I had the same feeling back in November when I was out in the front of Ali's yard cleaning up the weeds that had grown up like this. And I lost myself in that front yard, ripping out the weeds and cleaning it up. I loved it. Jesus lived a life of exuberant love for God. And I'm sure that was what attracted thousands to him. I'm sure it was that that drew the crowds in, that made his disciples want to follow. And here, he's lost in the work that he's doing for his Father. Because he knows the God who is love, because he carries that with him into his encounters, because he knows it in here, it permeates his living. It's food and drink to him. It's the water of life, and it's the nourishment that he utterly embodies, even onto the cross. And it is this which makes Christ the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life, whom we follow and whom we want to emulate. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. We've heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world." May the Spirit of Christ live in us, each one of us.